Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Dr. Sampiti. I am a second-year master's student at Kansas State University, and today I am going to present about our research project on genotype and fertilizer nitrogen effects on reproductive nitrogen and nitrogen remobilization in soybeans. As introduction and background for this research project, so we know that yield improvements have been documented in the past 30 years. In 2004, it was observed a global annual increase in soybean yields of 28 kilograms per hectare. Maximum yields depend on a balanced nutrition, as we know being nitrogen the main limiting factor in soybean yields. When we look to this figure, in the x-axis we have soybean yield expressed in tons per hectare. In the y-axis we have nitrogen uptake and nitrogen sources expressed in kilograms per hectare. Just to give an example, when we talk about 4 tons soybean per hectare, the total end demand will be about 310 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. Where will that nitrogen come from? So the main sources will be nitrogen coming from the soil and nitrogen coming from the biological nitrogen fixation process. But what happened when we look to nitrogen fixation as compared to total end uptake? So when we do that, we will find out that there is still a gap of nitrogen that needs to be supplied at about 45% still. And that numbers come from this observation that we can find in literature that in overall 50 to 60% of nitrogen demand is usually met by the biological nitrogen fixation process. Now, when we look to what happened during the seed filling period in soybeans, so remobilization is an important piece in this process. It accounts for about 50 to 60% of total nitrogen in the seed. Our main research question is, what are the main nitrogen sources for soybean end demand? And then our objective for this project is to investigate main nitrogen sources, nitrogen remobilization, and nitrogen uptake under different genotypes and contrasting nitrogen conditions during the seed filling period. Moving forward into materials and methods, this project was conducted in 2015 and 2016 growing seasons, different occasions in Kansas, so the total information is coming from 3 site years. We have 2 main factors. One of them genotypes with 3 levels. Genotype 1 is a non-random ready material released in the 1997. Genotype 2 is a random ready 1 material and it was released in 2009. Genotype 3 is a random ready 2 material and it was released in 2014. The idea of having these genotypes was having something more historical, something intermediate, and something modern. Our second factor was nitrogen fertilizer rates. Our first treatment is zero nitrogen as a control and common practice of what commonly farmers are doing now. We had also a late nitrogen application of 56 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. This treatment was applied at the R3 stage. And we had our third treatment that is a full nitrogen application with 600 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. In this treatment, we wanted to enhance an environment or a condition where nitrogen was not going to be a limiting factor for the plant. In total, we had 9 treatment combinations, and in those pictures, we are showing some of the application equipment early in the stage, upper figure, and in the bottom, late applications of nitrogen in the reproductive stages. For this specific purpose, 2 biomass samplings were collected, one at the R5 stage and one at the R8 stage, being R5 stage when the water content in the seed is about 75%, and going to R8 when the water content in the seed is about 30%. After those samples were collected, they were fractioned into a stem, leaves, pod walls, and seeds. So moving forward to our results, there was no interaction, a statistic interaction between the 2 factors, nitrogen and genotypes, so I will be presenting the results independently for genotype and for nitrogen treatments. In the first figure here in the x-axis, we have the three genotypes. Genotype 1 is the blood, blue color. Genotype 2 is the green. Genotype 3 is the red. And in the y-axis, we have seed yield in kilograms per hectare. As a reminder, genotype 1 was the historical in 1997 release year, and the genotype 3, I think, was 2009, the modern, the contrasting. So the main outcome here is that it was observed a 9% increase in yields with genotype 3. It was the random ready 2 material. Looking in a similar way, but now changing to treatments and to nitrogen fertilizer treatments, in the x-axis again we have zero nitrogen as the control, brown plot. We have the yellow plot for late nitrogen application, and we have the green plot for full nitrogen application treatment. And again, in the y-axis, seed yield expressed in kilograms per hectare. It was observed also a 9% increase in yields when looking to nitrogen fertilizer plots. However, there was no statistical difference between the full nitrogen application and the low nitrogen application rate. Mean yield across these environments was in 2.8 tons per hectare. Now looking to total nitrogen content in the plant, so in the x-axis genotypes from 1 to 3, in the y-axis nitrogen content expressed in kilograms per hectare, we found that there was a 7% increase in total nitrogen content in the plant when looking to genotype 3 as compared to the previous genotypes 1 and 2. When looking to nitrogen and total N content in the x-axis nitrogen treatments, in the y-axis total N content of the plant expressed in kilograms per hectare, it was also observed an increase of 10% when comparing nitrogen fertilizer plots against the control, with no difference between nitrogen treatments. The mean nitrogen content across these environments was 220 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. Summarizing this slide, so we found that greater yields were observed with the modern genotype, genotype 3, and with the nitrogen fertilizer plots. When looking to total nitrogen content, it was observed basically comparable increases to yield, similar fashion. Now moving forward into looking to remobilization sources and reproductive nitrogen during that seed filling period that we are focusing from R5 to R8 stages. In the x-axis we have nitrogen sources. In the left y-axis is remobilized nitrogen expressed in kilograms per hectare, and in the right y-axis is the reproductive nitrogen expressed again in kilograms nitrogen per hectare. The main outcomes here is that we observed that 84% of that nitrogen gain during the seed filling period was coming from the remobilization, when in the other hand 16% was coming from the reproductive N uptake. Focusing on the remobilized nitrogen in the first left bar, different colors represent different fractions of the plant, being brown for stem, pink for leaves, and green for pod walls. So 18% was of that remobilized nitrogen was coming from the stem, 30% from pod walls, and 52% coming from leaves. Summarizing this slide, remobilized nitrogen accounted for 43% of total nitrogen in the plants and 59% of total nitrogen in the seed. The main source, as I said before, the main source of remobilization was the leaves, and it accounted for 52% of that remobilized nitrogen. Reproductive nitrogen, it accounted for 8% of the total N uptake in the plant, and only 11% for the total nitrogen in the seed. Now we are looking to remobilization, and we are trying to compare that to vegetative nitrogen accumulation at the R5 stage. So in the x-axis we have vegetative nitrogen expressed in kilograms per hectare, and in the y-axis we have removalized nitrogen in kilograms per hectare. Bubble sizes represent different biomass, dry biomass accumulation at the R5 stage. It was observed that there were no difference among our treatments, genotypes, and nitrogen fertilizer, but it was clearly observed that remobilization was defined by nitrogen levels or nitrogen pool availability at the R5 stage. Now that we understood about remobilization being explained by vegetative nitrogen, we wanted to explore a little bit more about what happened with the reproductive end uptake. So we plotted in the x-axis in the bottom figure removalized nitrogen and in the y-axis reproductive nitrogen uptake, both of them expressed in kilograms per hectare. In this figure, bubble sizes also related to biomass, dry biomass accumulation, but in this case, the bubble size represents the amount of biomass that was accumulated when comparing from the R5 to the R8 stages. It was observed a negative relationship in this figure, and positive gap values were related to greater biomass in the upper section of that figure above zero. So we wanted to explore more about this relation, and we plotted the residuals, and we basically found a positive trend and a strong correlation for when comparing to seed yield in the x-axis of the residuals. Positive values are higher yield, and negative values of reproductive nitrogen with lower yields. Summarizing this slide, removalized nitrogen had a positive relationship with nitrogen availability at R5 stage, and removalization was also negatively correlated with reproductive nitrogen. Again, the more reproductive nitrogen we have, the more seed filling period biomass accumulation that was observed, and the higher yields we obtained. In conclusion, it was observed yield increase for modern genotype random ready 2 and nitrogen fertilizer plots. Remobilization accounted for 43% of total N. Reproductive N accounted for 8% of total nitrogen in the plant. Remobilization and vegetative nitrogen had a positive relationship. The more nitrogen at R5, the higher remobilization we would have. And reproductive nitrogen versus remobilization, it was a negative relationship with positive values in reproductive nitrogen when higher biomass was accumulated in the seed filling period. Again, going back to our research question, what are the main nitrogen sources for soybean? We are concluding our data collection with experimental plots in Kansas and Argentina. In total, we will be summarizing 10 site years, and we are collecting also multi-stage biological nitrogen fixation quantifications for urea analysis and make a conclusive result for this project. With that, I would like to thank all the collaborators of this project, and I would be happy to take any question.
Any questions from Mr. Ortiz?
Yes.
During his presentation, but I'm just kind of wondering, you applied 56 kilograms, and now that you know these results, would it have suggested that there might have been a benefit from applying those 56 kilograms earlier? And I was also interested in the source of nitrogen you used and its placement when you added that 56. It's just dribbled on the surface. The primary question is, would the timing of that late application have resulted in
okay, so going back to the question, the first thing is if we will expect that timing was a factor in these treatments. So the late application was applied at the R3 stage, and it was applied, was urea ammonium nitrate, is a liquid fertilizer source, and I will expect that this application timing had an effect. We cannot go back to see if we will have a benefit applying earlier because it was not out of our research project at this point. But yes, R3 application will make an impact, since when we look to nitrogen uptake curves in soybean, across around the R3, R2 stage is when the plant is in more need of nitrogen. So that will definitely have an impact. And the other question?
That's assuming, though, that nitrogen is available. So you have to have timely rain in order to make it available quite precisely at that stage.
Okay, yes. So then the affirmation is that we will need good conditions for that nitrogen to be able to supply the nitrogen to the plant in that specific need of time. And then the other question was about the method of application. It was applied with CO2 backpacks, and we use drop tubes in order to take care of any leaves damage.
Maybe we can take one more question, one last question.
Okay, the question is, what was the methodology in order to calculate remobilization and the proportion of each of the organs? So basically, remobilization is the difference between vegetative nitrogen at R5 minus vegetative nitrogen at R8. We are assuming that reduce of nitrogen is going to the seed as remobilization, and then about the proportion of each of the fractions, we just do a mathematical calculation, just dividing the kilograms of nitrogen loose in the stem divided by the total nitrogen removalized. So it's just saying, for example, 20 kilograms from the stem divided by 100 kilograms total remobilization, that will give you 20% remobilization from the stem.
Okay. Thanks, Mr.